Well, welcome everyone and good morning to our first ever audio fellowship worship service. We're glad that you've joined us. If your audio levels are not good, now is a good time to stop the recording and adjust them however you want. So you can sit comfortably in your chair or stand or wherever you are. But I hope you can picture us up here. But we're here worshiping God, and we want you to be worshiping God wherever you are this morning, whether you're alone or with a small group of people. So let's worship God together. You've got the lyrics there, and you've got the flow of the service. So use all those things however you want to use them. But the point is that we worship God with all of our hearts and to the best of our abilities, given the fact that this is the first time any of us have ever done this. So may God be praised in all of our efforts. Let's praise Him now. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Worship the Lord with joy. Come before Him with happy songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we belong to Him. We are His people. We are His flock. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. Go into its courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise Him. For the Lord is good. His love is eternal, and His faithfulness lasts forever. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.
In the pastures of God's goodness, we lie down to rest our soul. From the waters of God's mercy, we drink deeply and eat whole. At the table of God's presence, all the saints are richly fed with the oil of God's anointing. Into service we are led.
And now hear our opening prayer. Here we are, Lord. We come from the hue and cry of the world around us to worship You. In this hour, we long to meet You, to feel Your presence surrounding us, enveloping us, loving us. We long to settle into silence, laying aside our worries and our cares, aware of Your presence around us, before us, behind us, within us. God in community, holy in one, as we begin our worship, we lift our prayers to You. Amen.
Hear the call to worship inspired by Luke 10 and Psalm 46. Come and worship, be still, and aware of God's presence within and around you.
Come and worship. Be still and aware of Jesus' presence within and around you.
Come.
come and worship. Be still and aware of the Spirit's presence within and around you.
Be still and know the presence of the Triune God, the Father to whom we come, the Son through whom we come, the Spirit by whom we come.
Hear his word. Be still, for God is here.
Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come, bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Shining all around, he burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of light. Be still, for the glory of the Lord shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No word to for him, in faith receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place.
Hear our prayer of confession. And it's based on Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. Our prayer of confession, admitting that we need your help on this road to Calvary. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that the distractions and busyness of our lives make it difficult to listen deeply to your voice. Slow us down, Lord, and remind us that only one thing is needed, that we be still before you and know that you are God.
Transform our priorities so that we make space in our lives to be quiet and listen to you.
Jesus, seeker of the lost, we confess to becoming so shaped by the values of this age that your call on our lives is increasingly hard to hear.
Transform our values so that they are shaped by your concern for the unloved and unlovely, and for the weak and powerless in our society.
Jesus, friend of the poor, we confess that too often any mission and outreach planning is weighed against economic viability.
Transform our thinking so that we risk believing that all things are held together not by the bottom financial line, but by you.
Jesus, bearer of reconciliation, we confess that all too often in our faith communities, we harbor thoughts which estrange and make us hostile towards one another.
Transform our hearts so that we are filled with the desire to forgive one another and to make peace.
Jesus, source of our faith, we confess that we forget all too quickly the words that we say and pray and sing in our time of worship.
Transform our lives so that they remain connected to you at all times and in all places.
Assures us of his pardon with these words. You can put your hope in God, dear friends. Be still and know that in every corner of your lives, in every shadow you fear, into the cold embrace of death itself, God comes, our steadfast love. He breaks the bonds of sin and terror, giving us new strength and hope for the journey, and calling us to new life through the love and sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God.
Sing this song of gladness. Give
Congregational prayer. As this virus sweeps around the world, it is important that we remember that even though we are separated physically from one another, we don't have to be separated from one another's love. And most importantly, we are reminded that we are never separated from God's love for us in Jesus. Paul has given us these amazing words of confidence in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So in this light, let us pray together. We come to you, Lord, with caution, doubts, and some fear. Our world is facing a crisis of unknown proportions, and we wonder what tomorrow, next week, and next month will bring. In the midst of this, we thank you, dear God, for opportunities for worship, though we cannot be physically together. Even as we wish worship apart, we remain your body. Most of us live comfortable lives. We are well blessed in a country of plenty and safety. We don't suffer for lack of food, shelter, safety, and opportunity. We are shown the world's wars, oppression, economic ups and downs on our screens daily. But these issues often seem far away. Our own problems seem more real than the ones out there. A very short time ago, this virus was something happening to other people somewhere far away. Now, Lord, the world's problem has become ours. We cannot keep our distance anymore. As people, we crave certainty, Lord. We are afraid of the unknown. We fear the impact on our lives, on our loved ones, our jobs, our mobility, and our institutions. So here we are, Lord, before a great known unknown of unknown duration. Give us patience and peace. Remind us that the only real certainty we have is that you hold us in your loving hands. You will not abandon us. And we marvel at the fact that nothing, not even this virus, can separate us from God's love in Jesus. So now we offer our prayers for our world and for ourselves in this difficult time. While we give thanks for the lives we have been given, we pray for deliverance from this trouble that your world is facing. As each of us deals with the possibility of contracting this disease, we pray that we will not lose sight of those who suffer for other reasons and for whom this will be an additional burden, the poor, the lonely, the hungry, and the oppressed, wherever they live in the world. Please protect the most vulnerable among us, the aged and those with compromised health. Help each of us, as we are able, to be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever you have placed us. God of mercy, be with those who have contracted the virus around the world. Comfort those whose loved ones have died. Give patience to those who are quarantined and unable to move freely in their communities. We pray for health care providers. Protect them from this disease and from despair. Give them courage and patience as they must provide healing and comfort. We pray for those whose jobs and businesses are at risk and worry about how they will manage financially through this time. Give wisdom to government and business leaders as they work to reduce the impact on our economic life. We pray that this church can continue to be a loving and supportive presence to each other and to this neighborhood. Bless our staff and volunteers as decisions about our ministry need to be made. We pray for all people, Lord, and for ourselves, that we will not succumb to panic and unnecessary fears. Please free us from all the bondage that anxiety creates within. Help us to hold on with clarity and confidence to you, our God who loves and will keep us in your hands forever, regardless of the troubles we may face. We also pray, Lord, that we may use this time to reevaluate our way of life, individually and as a society. We pray that we may live more contented lives, that we rush around less, that we not demand more than we need, that we protect your creation from the harm we have caused it. Thank you, Lord, that even in this time of uncertainty and fear, we see signs of your faithfulness in the creation. We see growing signs of spring. The air is warmer, the sun brighter. Tree buds are swelling, and tulip leaves are showing. Help us to see these as signs of your faithful presence, that you remain the God of all creation and of the lives that we live within it. So bless us and guide us in the days and weeks that lie ahead. Grant us your peace and assurance. Help us as we continue to live lives of love and service. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, we turn our attention now from the problems of this past week to the Lenten journey that we are on. And I think we can all agree it is good to do so. In the Gospel of Luke, the place we take our passage from this morning, a similar transition occurs in chapter 9, verse 51, where Jesus is said to be resolutely setting out for Jerusalem. We are told he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He went there to suffer and to die. And as they went, they came to a village, which we know from John 11 to be the village of Bethany, which was very close to Jerusalem. And this is our passage from this morning, from Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Our dear God, as we look at these words together, please show us your heart. Please help us to receive your words for us this morning. Amen. It's really a nice picture we have here at the beginning. A woman named Martha has welcomed Jesus into her home. It's the only time that we meet Martha in the book of Luke, and seemingly it's before the familiar story of the raising of Lazarus, where Mary and Martha feature so prominently in the story. Martha, in this story in Luke, does exactly what is expected of one receiving the Lord. Earlier in that same chapter, Jesus had told those whom he sent out, in verses 8 and 10, that they should be welcomed into the homes of those who listen to them, and that if anyone does not welcome them, they should shake the dust off their feet. Well, Jesus has been welcomed into Martha's home. He had furthermore told those disciples, when they go into someone's home, eat what is set before you. And Martha has prepared a meal. Martha is proceeding to use her gifts of service and love of hospitality to prepare a great spread fit for a king, fit for King Jesus. And Jesus takes his seat there in her home and finds the peace his soul is seeking as he journeys towards his passion. He seemingly finds a quiet refuge in Martha's home and a welcome there. He seemingly finds a ready audience in Martha's sister, Mary. And there he begins opening windows into the kingdom of God as Mary listens. Well, so far, so good. It's a beautiful picture of calm. It's a nice Sunday lunch, and the guest pastor is there invited for lunch. And what could possibly go wrong? But there was trouble in their little paradise. For there were many tasks, literally much service, that needed to be done. There was bread to be baked. There was hummus to be creamed. There was a table to be set. There were rooms still to be cleaned. And Jesus didn't travel alone. He followed along with a band of disciples. And some of these young men could eat a lot of pita bread and hummus. Martha, we're told, became worried and upset. The work was too much for one person. The plans for a great meal were not going to materialize. The rabbi could not possibly be honored in the way he deserved. And those 12 nervous, hungry young disciples were getting on her nerves. And worst of all, Mary was not helping. Now, Martha and Mary were very different individuals. These days, they were what we would call different personality types. Maybe we could do a Myers-Briggs analysis on them. Martha, we could say, was an ESTJ, an extroverted, sensory, thinking, judging person. But Martha loved Jesus. Mary was just the opposite of Martha. Mary was an INFP, an introverted, intuitive, feeler, perceiver. And Mary loves Jesus. I'd invite you to go to the next slide in your deck. Look at that picture for a moment. I think this picture captures beautifully, at least the way I picture the scene there. Martha kept on working, and she sensed what was happening, and she stewed, and she judged that Jesus and Mary were totally oblivious to all the work that obviously needed to be done. So Martha made the only conclusion that one could make about her important guests. And as she did, the lid blew off the boiling pot because she surmised that Jesus clearly did not care and he had better do something about it. The calm was broken. The sisters were at odds. And Martha was now shut down to anything that Jesus had to offer. And isn't that the way with us? Because really, really, there's so much that needs to be done. Any call to sit at the feet of Jesus is bound to go unheeded. It's just so unrealistic, given our busy schedules. My mother was a preacher's wife. And usually when the guest preacher came to town, the guest preacher stayed with us. And the preparations for the Sunday meal started a long time before Sunday, I can tell you that. My mother was very busy. But I know as I speak of these things, I'm getting on thin ice for several reasons. First of all, service is crucial in the New Testament. We're told in this passage that Martha was distracted because of her many tasks, that is, her much service that needed to be done. That word, service, diakonos, is the word from which we get our word for deacons. Where would our church be without its deacons? And furthermore, where would the church be without its Marthas, those people who aspire to no office yet work tirelessly and selflessly to keep the church going? This church, our denomination is made up of Marthas. I'm a Martha. I get it. I prefer working. And like Martha, though, I'm easily distracted. I try and sit and pray, and I'm worried and distracted by so many things. I mean, most of my prayer times end with me reaching for my mobile phone, quite literally. And yet, there is this fact staring us in the face, staring me in the face, that the real work of the kingdom is communicating with Jesus
and prayer, that the mission will only be accomplished by prayer, that we need more praying, less doing. People of God, I'm preaching to myself. Well, back to our story. Jesus intervenes because Jesus hears what Martha has to say when she says, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care what I have to do? Won't you do something? Won't you say something?" And Jesus has something to say to Martha. And I want you to hear his words to Martha, filled with grace, because Jesus loved Martha. We are told those exact words in John chapter 11, verse 5. Jesus loved Martha, and a friend can tell another friend when they are off track. Jesus offers a grace-filled corrective to Martha's attitude, because Martha had been distracted, distracted by her to-do list, distracted from Jesus. And Martha had let the distraction build into worry. Worry over work that would not get done. Worry over her reputation as a hostess. Worry about Jesus as a guest. But Jesus looks at her in love and he tells her, "Only one thing is needed." And I hear in his words the following, "It's okay, Martha. It's okay. I'm okay. Yes, I have needs, but the need is not for me to be waited on hand and foot. These snacks you put out now, they're sufficient. You don't have to kill the fatted calf for us. I'm headed to Jerusalem to die. What I need now is the love of my friends. The one thing that is waiting for you is here at my feet, Martha. I don't need anything else. You don't need anything else, Martha. Join us here, and we'll have some soul food together." And then he says something to Martha that is truly hard to hear. Hard because it involved the sister that she was feuding with. He says to her, "Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." Oh, to be in Martha's head right now. Maybe she was thinking of that familiar story of Cain and Abel, two other quarreling siblings. But unlike Cain, Martha does not give in to the sin which sought to master her. How do I know this? Because if we fast forward to John chapter 11, verse 27, Martha, at the greatest disappointment of her life, the death of her beloved brother, makes one of the greatest confessions of Jesus that appears in the New Testament. She says, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." You see, Jesus did not agree with Martha, but he redirected her in a way that took her past her resentment, her worry, and her anxiety. And Jesus was redirecting Martha's attention to the path that he was on, to what he really needed from her, to himself, and she a witness to the whole thing. Well, we're busy people. We have lots that we want to do for the kingdom of God. We're busy with good things, but do we have Christ's priorities in mind? And can we hear the gentle, loving correction of the Lord? Know that as he corrects us, he does love us. He calls us to be with him, to leave the worries and distractions and focus on the one thing that is needed, the better part. When we sit at Jesus' feet, he relieves our worry. Worry that we have to do more for Jesus. Worry that we have to prove our worth. Worry that no matter how much we do, we remain unworthy. When we sit at Jesus' feet, we enjoy what the Heidelberg Catechism calls true faith. And if I may quote from it, "True faith is a deep-rooted assurance created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that out of sheer grace earned for us by Christ, not for others, not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven." When we sit at Jesus' feet, he relieves our anxiety. Anxiety that the church will fall apart if I quit working. Anxiety that comes from duty where there used to be gratitude. And when we sit at Jesus' feet, we hear his voice, calling us back to the one thing that is needed, a time of calm and prayer and and reassurance. Well, in conclusion then, our identification is with the suffering Savior who is on the road to Jerusalem and with this witness of his journey, Martha. Remember when Leslie was here 2 weeks ago? She spoke to us and ended with an invitation into prayer with these words. Where is Jesus asking us to sit closer to him, to listen to him more dearly, to support each other as fellow disciples on the path of discipleship? We're on the road through Lent, and this coronavirus is forcing us to slow down in a way we've never had to slow down before. I know it is for me. So let's slow down and hear the invitation to Lenten prayer and to spending some good time with Jesus. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we hear this invitation and still our bodies, our minds, our souls are anxious and distracted. And yet at this time, Lord, as you invite us to slow down, help us to do so, to leave our anxieties behind and to receive your loving invitation. Amen.
Sent to serve. Now go forth with God's hope.
We have put flesh on our faith and will go to serve others.
Now go forth to fill others with Christ's light.
We will go to call others to new life,
wiping away their tears.
And now go forth with the steadfast love of the Spirit.
We will go to share that hope for which all people long.
People of God, receive the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
My friends, may you grow in grace. in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. My friends, may you grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. Knowledge of Jesus Christ.